88.
Pakistan abusing the billions that the United States generously gave that country to fight Al-Qaeda and help their military from 2002 to 2008, but they squandered it elsewhere. We have a story along with odds and ends, plus who nailed the score or who didn't. We'll let you know the answer to that question. Hope you had a great weekend. Kate Delaney hanging with you here on America Tonight, coast to coast and everywhere in between, as you know the mantra by now. We're going to talk about the tsunamis. In fact, we're going to talk with a doctor from FIT who has some theories on, you know, first of all, the basics. What is a tsunami? We know what we think a tsunami is in our head, but what is going on in Asia? Crazy. In the Philippines, another tsunami. More people dead. Villages flattened. Flooding everywhere. Also, before we jump to Pakistan, speaking of money and money being squandered or not, so many of us look in our wallets and wonder, didn't the money go a little bit further last year this time? Or you look down the street and you sadly see that your friends are moving, and why are they moving? Because they can't afford to live in the neighborhood anymore, and they're just praying that they can get their house sold before they have to go into foreclosure. We have almost 10% unemployment across this country. 10%. The numbers are ugly. I saw a statistic today where they said something like, for every job opening, there's 6 Americans that are qualified for that job that they narrow it down to. But there's hundreds that apply for most of those jobs. So we know it's tough out there, right? Alan Greenspan, the former Federal Reserve Chairman, was part of the Sunday Swirl. What is the Sunday Swirl? It means the talking head shows from CNN to Fox to ABC to CBS and to NBC. He was on with George Stephanopoulos on ABC, and he talked about what's going on right now with the economy. Where are we at, and just how bad is it?
Well, it's very difficult to make judgments at a time like this, largely because we don't have so many incidents in history to be able to compare it to. But basically, I think the issue is this. The job report was pretty awful, no matter how you looked at it. Indeed, not only, of course, did the unemployment rate go up, but I was particularly concerned about the number of Americans who have been unemployed for 6 months or longer.
5 million Americans.
But that went up sharply in September. And remember, the reason that is a problem, obviously, other than the obvious personal difficulties that families have in such a context, is that the economy loses skills. And people who are out of work for very protracted periods of time lose their skills eventually. And remember that what makes an economy great is a combination of the capital assets of the economy and the people who run it. And if you erode the human skills that are involved there, it is a real and, in one sense, an irretrievable loss.
All right, so then the question becomes to Greenspan, which George asked him, is, well, what do we do? What's going on? What do we do in the future? And
well,
Greenspan,
the issue is essentially economic activity. And the reason I say that is that there is a silver lining in that particular report, and it's difficult to find one. It's that American business, after Lehman Brothers collapsed and the whole financial system imploded, business expected that the economy would go down far more sharply than it in fact did. The result was they laid off a very substantial number of people to the point that the actual hours worked fell even more than the economy. So that what we're getting is artificial numbers which give us productivity gains of horrendous amounts, meaning the amount of labor input per unit of output has been going down and down, and that can't continue. So the silver lining is, at some point, we're going to start to see an improvement in employment. But remember that unless there is a monthly increase of more than $100,000 a month, you still got the unemployment rate continuing.
And that's why the...
All right, so Greenspan talking about only 40% of the $787 billion, also he threw this in Obama's first stimulus package, has been spent. We know that. And he's saying it's helping to create momentum for the economic recovery. I mean, I would argue that it is not stimulating anything, and I'm not the only one who thinks that. Half of the people on the Hill think that. And, of course, many in America say the same thing. What happened to the 78.7? You know, where's it gone, really? And we're in this, what, plugged up somewhere that we can't get this money dispersed? Isn't it interesting that when the fat cats on Wall Street need the money, boy, they get the check right away. And even when the car companies need to be bailed out or taken over, it seems to happen for them. Anyway, it looks like, and Greenspan said it as well, that unemployment, the situation is going to continue to worsen, should hit that 10% mark. He's right that it's hard to manipulate all the factors and to get a real handle on it because, of course, it's different from region to region. In particular, one thing that's happening, anybody listening to me right now, you're scared to death because you're surviving on unemployment as the best you can. You're looking for a job. You're doing, you know, whatever you can, that due diligence you have to do to get those checks and apply for, what is it, three jobs for every time you get a check or however much it is. The unemployment benefits are going to be extended. Both Chuck Schumer, who was also on this week with George Stephanopoulos, and Senator John Cornyn have both said that, but we've heard that really for the last couple of weeks. And also for the unemployment, if you're a COBRA person, you have a family, that naturally gets extended. And I know there's people worried about the housing situation, so the housing credits should also get extended too, which means for first-time home buyers, $8,000. And imagine how much that could go, certainly a long way in some circumstances, I would think anyway. That would definitely help, and it should help people trying to get rid of homes. All right, when I first cracked open the mic, of course, what did I mention? The fact that Pakistan has been sucking off the teat, if you will, of the United States for a while, and we're only too glad to do it to help the military, right? But then you hear this deal where for 6 years, while Al-Qaeda was regrouping, rearming, getting organized, getting funds, while that was happening, only $500 million of the $6.6 billion in American money or aid, right, actually even made it to the Pakistani military. There were two army generals who wanted to be anonymous because, of course, they can't speak publicly. And they were backed up, what they said, by other retired and active generals in Pakistan and bureaucrats and government ministers. So they're not just kicking up a bunch of dust. And they say that the money was diverted instead from the military to the economy to help at the time President Musharraf, to help him look better in that country. It went to things like subsidies and other things, but not toward tanks, equipment, all of that. So give me a break there. Got to follow the money, folks, right? Stay with us. Tsunami Talk next.
Comfort food is the food you turn to when you've had a bad day. It's also the first thing you want when it's time to celebrate. eFoods Direct just finished developing our new Nutraversal Foods. Close your eyes and taste our creamy three-cheese blend macaroni and cheese, and you'll swear you're eating fresh pasta in downtown Italy. Dig into our chili with cornmeal dumplings, and you'll feel like a wealthy Texan. Or sip a cup of warm potato cheddar soup and be soothed on a cold, rainy day. Nutraversal Foods from eFoods Direct, your new comfort food. Incredible taste, easy to prepare, and a long shelf life. Nutraversal Foods, more fun while hunting and fishing, bigger tales around the campfire, and the food your kids will want when celebrating the win of a ball game. And if it's this great during the good times, imagine how reassuring it will be if times get tough. Nutraversal Foods by eFoods Direct, your new comfort food. eFoodsDirect.com, 1-800-409-5633. visit eFoodsDirect.com or call 1-800-409-5633.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Wow, last week we were talking about what was going on in the American Samoa and the Tonga, and, you know, the tsunami hit the Pacific Islands, and then I just mentioned the Philippines. What is happening in Asia? We are thrilled to welcome to the show our next guest, Dr. George Maul. He's a professor of oceanography, and he is the dean of the School of Marine Environmental Systems at Florida Institute of Technology, and I think right now he's in Ocala with a bunch of Boy Scouts. Sounds interesting. Hey, Doc, thanks for coming on the show.
No, I got back from the scout camp, but thanks for calling.
You know, you have such an interesting job. But before we dive into this, I've always been fascinated by the ocean, and I've met a lot of oceanographers in my life. I just went to Hawaii a couple of months ago, and I was on the Pacific Whale Foundation's boat, and all of the kids on the boat had different backgrounds, but they were schooled much in what you do. And I think even one of them went to the Florida Institute of Technology. Did you know when you were a young lad that this is what you wanted to do?
Someplace in my latter years of my undergraduate education, I got bit by the science bug and decided, yeah, I really want to do marine meteorology and oceanography and that sort of stuff. Absolutely, yeah.
And Florida Institute of Technology is one of the best, right, in the country?
Well, we think so.
Good answer. That's a good thing for a dean to say, for sure.
You bet.
So let's take it from the beginning, because a lot of people listening, explain tsunamis and how tsunamis are caused.
Most of them are caused by an undersea earthquake, where there is a vertical displacement of the seafloor, and that vertical displacement gets propagated up through the water and creates the surface wave, which goes out as what, and becomes what we know as a tsunami. There can be other causes, submarine landslides. You can have an asteroid impact or something like that. But most of them are probably caused by underwater earthquakes.
And I was talking about Asia being hit particularly hard, obviously, this past week and then heading into this week. So it made me wonder, what are the areas that seem to be the most at risk? Maybe I'm answering my own question.
Well, it's really an interesting question, because you have to define what do you mean by risk? What's the total total risk of an issue like this. And let me walk you through this for just a moment. Total risk has to be more than just the frequency of occurrence of something. All right, total risk is normally defined as a combination of the hazard frequency, that is how often it occurs, and then times the elements at risk. That's number of people who might be at risk, the amount of infrastructure might be at risk, and finally you multiply that by something called the vulnerability, and that is, do we have our head in the sand or not? Are we prepared for this? Are we thinking about this? So when you add them all up together, or multiply them out, actually, the way it's properly done, you find that the total risk for some areas, like the Western Atlantic, the Caribbean region in particular, are much, much higher than you might expect.
And there's, you know, this, I know, again, this is a crazy question, but of course, what people always wonder afterwards, isn't there any way we can find out ahead of time, rather than just a few minutes or just by being shocked at what we see coming toward us? Is there anything that's being developed or worked on for a little bit more of a warning for any kind of a tsunami or this earthquake that happens that causes a tsunami, or that's really just an impossibility, Doc?
No, not really. It depends on how close you are to where the earthquake occurred. Let me give you an example. There was a great earthquake just off of the coast of Chile in 1960. The people in Chile probably had 5 to 10 minutes of warning. The people in Hawaii had a half a day, and the people in Japan had a full day of warning. So it really depends on where you are, because these waves travel through the ocean at a known speed, and because we know what speed they travel at, we can forecast when they're going to arrive. But if you're really close to where the earthquake occurred, like what happened in the American Samoa last week, then you have a very short amount of time to act and protect your life.
So when you have a short amount of time, this seems obvious too, but do you just run for the highest point? I mean, is that really all you can do? If you
Yep.
are on the beach, something seems odd, you just start to go in the opposite direction, right?
Absolutely. Forget the picnic basket, grab the kids, and get off the beach. That's what you have to do.
And, you know, I've heard people talk about that, where they felt they had a weird premonition or felt something strange and felt like something was coming on, and they started to go in the other direction and just missed. I mean, they were hit by the tsunami, but they were further up the road, miles in, because they started to, for whatever reason, go away from the waterfront and survive. I mean, sadly, we've seen some awful tsunamis, certainly, in the last 4 or 5 years. 2004, that tsunami. What, you know, that's probably one of the deadliest, right, in history that formed in the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, probably the deadliest that we know of. And the numbers are probably never going to be known for sure, but certainly 200,000 people died in that particular event.
Wow. In the study of waves, then people study this too. There's a lot you can learn from the waves besides getting away from tsunamis, just in general weather patterns and whatnot. What do you do at the Florida Institute of Technology? Are you working on any of those kind of things?
Yeah, we've been working on issues of Atlantic tsunami risk, and many people don't perceive there being much of a risk in the Atlantic. But in fact, according to some people who do the bean counting, one out of every four tsunamis occurs in the North Atlantic Ocean, if you include the Caribbean Sea and the Mediterranean. There was an event in 1755, which was the Great Lisbon Earthquake and Fire and Tsunami. That event, it probably killed something on the order of 60,000 people in Western Europe and North Africa. That event also sent waves across the Atlantic. We know it killed people in Martinique and the Lesser Antilles and Saba and the Lesser Antilles. There are very few reports of it outside of those areas, probably because there weren't very many people there. We did some calculations for that particular event as it might affect the east coast of Florida. And if you're familiar with the geography of the east coast of Florida, there's a major seaport near Cape Canaveral called Port Canaveral. And we estimate that Port Canaveral would be completely inundated by that event had it occurred today. And just south of that is a major Air Force base, Culpatrick Air Force Base. And we would calculate also that the wave would cross over the barrier island and flood much of the Air Force Base. So a lot of people would be hurt from an event like that. With the present tsunami warning system setting up for the Atlantic Ocean getting better and better all the time, that event probably would give us maybe 6 hours of warning in Florida. But if people are not prepared, then the vulnerability is very, very high, and the total risk, the equation we talked about in the very beginning of all this, still is extremely high.
Right, so then it would be a question of, too, it's that getting the word out thing, right? People just, as much as you can, if you do have that 6 hours, if you do have some time, if that all develops, then it's just like, and certainly Floridians know this better than anyone else, but other people listening to me across the country have dealt with this. It's like hurricane warning systems can be tremendous, but sometimes people choose to ignore them. It'd be great to see tsunami systems come into place where you actually had a debate whether people were going to ignore them or not, because right now that's not a factor, but it'd be great to see that. And certainly, as you said, it could be disastrous in the Atlantic if that happened, right?
That's our biggest concern. That gets back to the vulnerability issue. Most cities are not prepared for it, and very few of them are what we call a tsunami-ready community. And a tsunami-ready community is like a hurricane-ready community. They go through periodic drills that they know what to do. The police knows to go to the beach, get people off. The fire department knows to do this, and the city council knows to do that. There's only 3 or 4 or maybe 5 or so tsunami-ready communities on the east coast of the United States. And the first one was right here just south of Cape Canaveral, a small town called Indian Harbor Beach. And it took a long time for us to make that happen. But it takes that dedication, that willingness to practice and train and to inform your community as to what to do in case of an event.
Yeah, and if they ever need it, boy, then Indian Harbor Beach will be the ones they'll be prepared there.
That's about the only one in Florida at the moment. That's correct.
Wow, incredible. Dr. Maul, thanks so much for coming on. Will you join us again sometime down the line?
My pleasure, anytime.
Next time I want to talk about sharks.
Okay.
Thanks, Dr. Maul.
You bet. Bye-bye.
All right, Dr. George Maul, professor of oceanography. You heard what he had to say. Interesting. So there are three places in the United States where they're practicing the tsunami warnings, and as he said, in Florida, just the one, the Indian Harbor Beach. And so many people can relate to hurricane warnings, like I mentioned, and also tornado warnings. You know, when you hear the sirens, and still you don't get a lot of time, but at least the sirens will go off. And if you're aware of it in your area, you know what to do to take cover, etc. Odds and ends, what happened over the weekend that you might have missed, we'll talk about it next, round the bend.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
If you currently owe back taxes to the IRS or state, this special announcement is for you. Tax authorities are now accepting settlements, and you can resolve your tax debt for a fraction of what you owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, now is the time to act before it's too late. We're the Rely On Group, and our tax resolution experts are here to help you right now. Many of our tax experts are former IRS agents. They know how to legally and permanently resolve your tax problems and make sure you don't pay a dime more than you have to. Call now to immediately remove tax liens, eliminate tax penalties, and end wage garnishments.
If you owe back taxes to the IRS or state, call us for free information about how you can legally settle your tax liabilities and save thousands of dollars. Call now. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for IxQuick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week StartPage Challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of StartPage and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2 sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Coming up this day in the history, birthdays, and news you can abuse. But first here on America Tonight, a couple of headers, headlines. That would be what we're discussing, including the fact that thousands now ordered to leave Southern California, a particular area in Wrightwood. They've got another aggressive ground and air assault going on there. My goodness, they just put out the one fire, so you had crews all over the place, helicopters, air tankers, all that sort of stuff, and eventually eating up 7,500 acres and nothing but timber and whatnot in this area. I know the area. It's in a hillside near San Bernardino, and they're just trying to keep it at bay. It's about a quarter mile off of this mountain resort area, the Wrightwood spot that I mentioned. So here you go. You got winds up to 50 miles an hour that would all of a sudden, you know, spark up the Santa Ana winds and then dip all the way down. So they're having a hard time getting a handle on the fire, and they've had people come in from other areas, as I mentioned, the helicopters, et cetera. And it happened over the weekend. Still no idea what caused the fire, but that's typical when you have a fire like this. You've got investigations, obviously, on the ground going on as this thing burns. But scary stuff for the people there who just seem to deal with one fire after another. It's absolutely crazy, isn't it? So here we go again. The guys in the trucks, the guys with the hoses, the guys with the axes and the water trying to protect this small California town from this horrible fire that has Governor Schwarzenegger once again declaring a state of emergency, this time for San Bernardino County, and trying to free up the state resources to battle this fire. It's a good thing they put money back because they're cutting services otherwise. So it's a good thing that they thought ahead, knowing the type of fire season that they they could have, but certainly not dreaming in their wildest imagination it would be quite this bad. A couple of other things worth mentioning quickly here on the show include this. October 25th now is the date for the UN inspectors to go into Iran and look at the facility that was uncovered thanks to satellite information that the U.S. had. So right now it looks as though Iran is not confronting but actually deciding to cooperate. We'll see how long this lasts, but it would certainly point to some signs of progress anyway from that country. Although I still believe in the back of my mind, I think that they have the information to make the nuclear bomb, whether they can do it or not for a couple of years. What ultimately do they do with that information? So the UN team comes in, they inspect. Everything's great. What happens when everybody leaves, I guess, is my point of view over Ahmadinejad and the powers that be there. Can you really trust them to honor whatever it is they say they're going to do, use a third country as far as developing some of that, enriching some of that uranium, and then using it just for peaceful purposes? Sad thing happened over the weekend, and you know, here we are really at the tail end of the boating season. You had three people that were killed, four others seriously injured. And how many people have been in this position when you've been on a powerboat and you're off, you're not thinking about it? It was on a Sunday night. You had the people navigating through a channel area where you have marshes, and you're talking about an area of New York, Wantagh, really kind of Long Island. And the captain ultimately, it runs aground, the captain gets thrown off the boat, pronounced dead by the time the rescuers even get there, and it's right near Jones Beach. Has to be terrible for those families. The boat was about 150 feet from the water. Ultimately, they found one person, four people injured, and one dead, so ultimately three dead altogether by the time they had rounded up all of the victims on this. And they think that this boat, which is capable of going to 150 miles an hour, was traveling obviously at a fast speed and didn't know where they were going, and they hit a sandbar while trying to get through the channels in the bay, so they didn't really have the knowledge of the area. Like I said, how many people have had that happen to them when you've been on a speedboat where you run aground, not necessarily going 150 miles an hour, but certainly that's what can happen. All right, news you can abuse, a couple of interesting things. One that I think Matt, our technical maestro, can relate to, although he's on the other side of this equation, out of Wisconsin, fire folks there are saying, forget this idea of burning Brett. Check it out. The Milwaukee Burger Company was planning a halftime promotion for the Monday night Green Bay game with the Vikings. Fans were invited to bring their Brett Favre gear to toss into a burning barrel, but the local fire officials there said a large fire would be illegal, of course dangerous. So the Western Wisconsin Sports Bar is going to be allowed to burn a single Brett Favre jersey. The rest of the unwanted Favre stuff will be donated to Goodwill. The restaurant says it will donate $10 for each item that a customer contributes. Favre, of course, is the longtime Packers quarterback who now plays for the big-time rivals, the Minnesota Vikings. Boy, they're going to be sad when Minnesota pulls off that win on Monday night, and then they're 4-0 with Brett Favre as the quarterback. This is a cool story. Of course, Matt likes that. I think they'll win. Oxnard, California. I used to live near Oxnard. It's kind of a cool little place outside of L.A. and in between Santa Barbara. A guy named Tony Molaski didn't set any kind of records at all, period, when he was wearing the Dodger blue. But he is baseball's oldest living major leaguer. Check this out. He's going to be 30. He's the oldest one. He's going to be 100 years old. In fact, 100 years old today, actually. And he still follows the Dodgers on the TV from his Southern California home. He played 3 months for Brooklyn as an infielder in 37. A knee injury cut his major league career short. He went on to serve in the Army in World War II, fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He also worked for a company that built fighter jets 100 years old. Somebody asked him, what's the secret of living that long? And he said, just keep breathing and have a good doctor. All right, I gotcha. How about this from Washington? The C in D.C. could stand for chickens. You're going to love this one. The Washington, D.C. City Council is considering a proposal that would allow raising chickens in the nation's capital. Fresh egg lovers, that's what they want to do it, would have to get their neighbor's blessing before getting any backyard birds. If your neighbors say it's okay, then you can get them. City chickens aren't illegal now, but you have these zoning regulations that make it pretty impossible to have legal hens on whatever an average size lot would be in D.C. Roosters would crow, so they would still be banned, but chickens wouldn't be banned. You would have to get the permission of the neighbors to be able to do that. Can you imagine getting that knock on the door, that call? Hey, we were going to raise some chickens in the back. We were wondering if it would bother you if we did that or not, or, you know, would that be okay with you if we have these chickens running around? There are a lot of cities, actually, where this is like a sort of a new movement to have your own eggs, your own fresh eggs. There are a lot of cities that are dealing with whether or not you can keep chickens in the backyard, not just Washington, D.C. We go to New York. A hot toy for kids' Christmases. Are you thinking video game, some kind of a bike, some kind of other toy that's new and hot and out there and everybody's talking about it? Well, this is what it is. It's the Zuzu pet hamster. And apparently it's pretty hard to find. Industry insiders say the hamster could be the sort of tickle me Elmo kind of sensation, or Cabbage Patch dolls. It squeaks. It moves around. They sell for about $8 to $10. I guess in Walmart you can get them. They sell out this Zuzu pet hamster even before they put them on the shelves. Wow. I never even heard of this pet hamster thing. So it's probably better than the real thing, though. If your kid wants this hamster, it squeaks and moves around, and it's a fake hamster, that might be easier to take care of than the real deal. Matt, did you ever have hamsters or ferrets or any of that?
Nope. No guinea pigs? The rodent things, no. Mm-hmm. I had a friend who had a chinchilla. That's as close as I got to anything.
Oh, chinchilla. What were they like? I've never even seen a chinchilla.
It's like, what are they? I don't know. It's bigger than a guinea pig.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I know they make like fake fur coats out of them.
Oh, I've heard of chinchilla coats. Yeah, so that makes sense. It's furry and it's bigger than a guinea pig. Yeah, I don't get that. I don't get the rodent thing, but a lot of people do. A lot of kids like hamsters. They like hamsters or the guinea pigs or any of that sort of stuff, or ferrets. Ferrets are really big with people. To each his own, but I am that traditional dog cat person, I guess, right? I even know people that have birds, and the bird thing, I like birds, but I don't know that I would want to have a bird in my house and have to take care of a bird. And finally, this one from Lubbock, Texas, a Texas newspaper there. It's interesting what they did. The Lubbock Avalanche Journal printed on pink paper. Pretty cool, because this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. The pink edition marked their start of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It's the second straight year the paper made the pink statement. They say it's good for business. The company says advertisers' response is very strong. And so they have a larger-than-usual Thursday paper coming out. What a great thing to do. People are pretty creative and clever when it comes to some of these charities. And, of course, awarenesses and the breast cancer thing is very, very big. So not beyond the pink ribbon, they're doing other things. And good for Lubbock for being so clever. And plus, with newspapers dying the way they are, what a good way to pump up advertising and awareness at the same time. Coming up, we got birthdays, this day in history, and some other things for you, too, on the flip side.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. Airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
One of the best quotes that I've heard recently, and this is from this week, the George Stephanopoulos show. Cokie Roberts, who used to, of course, do that show with, Sam Donaldson. So Cokie Roberts had this comment about Polanski. They were talking about Polanski, and her comment was, they should just take him out and shoot him. Polanski, it's just, since the whole story broke with him being picked up in Switzerland and the question of whether he's being extradited to the United States, it's really been a mixed bag. Somebody in Hollywood signing off on Polanski and saying it's ridiculous and, you know, you got to stick up for him, and then other people outraged by Polanski. I mean, hey, He basically slipped drugs to this girl. She was 13 years old, thought she was getting photographs taken or whatever, and, you know, the rest is history, and then he ran off to France. But you have his sister-in-law saying that it was consensual and all these other people sticking up for her, and then you have the prosecutor saying that he exaggerated things in an HBO movie, and it's just every day there is a different twist on this thing. Bottom line is, are they going to extradite him to the United States or not? I think one of the worst headlines that I saw over the weekend, and you'll probably hear more this week on this, is Goldman Sachs. Do you know that there is a chance that Goldman Sachs will get a payment of $1 billion? The taxpayers, by the way, meaning you and me, we as a result would lose $2.3 billion. And this is why it would happen. It's if the commercial lender, CIT, files for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. So that's where the payment would come from. It would be the structure of the $3 billion rescue financial package that Goldman extended to that company on June of 2008. So that was 5 months before the Treasury bought $2.3 billion in CIT preferred shares to prop it up because, you know, they were in the height of the crisis then. So the loss for us would be the biggest so far in this whole, let's inject some capital, you know, this whole injection for the banks. The agreement with Goldman says that if CIT defaults or goes bankrupt, it would be required to pay a whole, make a whole amount that would total $1 billion. So they're entitled to demand the full amount. Although I guess they could agree to postpone payments if they would do it, and it seems as they would, on a part of that money that the people added. So the bottom line is, once again, Goldman wins, cha-ching, and you and I lose. How prudent for them, how perfect for them that it works out that way, that they would reap $1 billion because they hold credit insurance that would be paid off. Oh. So it's a whole payment. Whatever. Because, of course, they're trying to downplay it. But you really can't. It's a parachute. It's like somebody said to me, it's a Goldman parachute day. Oh, that would have been the place to work, right? Because, obviously, they know how to amass the wealth, blow it, still get people to give them money, and then find a way in the end to come out ahead because someone else defaults. Oh, again, typical. All right, I said that we would do this day in history, and, of course, we would get to the birthdays as well. So without further ado, we should do that because we have a lot of cool days in history to rewind. It is Monday, October 5th. Did you realize there are 87 days left in the year? It's just so frightening to say that, but it is true. 87 days left in the year. Don't know how many people remember this. I certainly wasn't alive then, but I have heard old stories about it. On this day, back in 1921, the World Series was carried on radio for the first time in Newark, New Jersey. The station was WJZ, later a famous station, WABC. They relayed a telephoned play-by-play account of the first game from the Polo Grounds, where the Giants were facing the Yankees, to a studio announcer who repeated the information on the air. The Yankees won the opener just for grins, to tell you 3-0. The Giants won the series 5-3. In 1829, the 21st president of the U.S., Chester Alan Arthur, was born in Fairfield, Vermont. In 1892, the Dalton Gang, of course, what are they known for? Train robberies. They were pretty much almost wiped out while trying to rob a pair of banks in a little town in Kansas. 1947, President Harry S. Truman delivered the first televised White House address as he spoke on the world food crisis. Think about that, 1947. And you think of Truman, you think of all the people that have since gone on to speak on TV, and how many times has Obama done it recently? A lot. More than Clinton and more than Bush in their first year. In 1958, racially desegregated Clinton High School in Clinton, Tennessee, was mostly leveled by an early morning bombing. Horrible thing there. 1969, the British TV comedy program Monty Python's Flying Circus made its debut on BBC One. They have a thing now running on Broadway and other places. Some of you might have seen it. It's called Spamalot. Very, very funny. I did see it. In 1988, Democrat Lloyd Bentsen lambasted Republican Dan Quayle during their VP presidential debates. Boy, that seems like a long time ago. Telling Quayle, "Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy." I remember it. 1989, a jury in Charlotte, North Carolina, boy, this was a scandal of all scandals, convicted former PTL evangelist Jim Baker of using his television show to defraud followers. The Dalai Lama, the spiritual and temporal leader of Tibet, was named winner of the Nobel Peace Prize in 89. It was just 10 years ago that MCI WorldCom agreed to pay $115 billion for Sprint. The deal collapsed less than a year later because of regulators' objections to what kind of a monopoly that would be. Also, this was sad, two-pack commuter trains collided near London's Paddington Station. 31 people were killed as a result. And if we wind back the clock 5 years ago, boy, how life has changed for these two. VP Dick Cheney and Democratic rival John Edwards slugged it out over Iraq, jobs, and their judgment in their one and only debate of the 2004 campaign. Of course, John Edwards now just wrapped around scandal all over the place. Dick Cheney no longer in government after 2 years as the, I mean, 2 terms as the VP. Along in part of the Bush administration. American supply of flu vaccine was abruptly cut in half as British regulators 5 years ago undecidedly shut down Sharon Corporation, a major supplier. Also, it was 5 years ago that Tiger Woods married his Swedish girlfriend, model Elle Nordgren, in Barbados. Now they have 2 kids, and sadly, comedian Rodney Dangerfield died in L.A. at the age of 82. All right, do we have that famous birthday music, please, sir?
I need birthday singers! Come on, people, we need birthday singers!
All right, celebrating a birthday, Hockey Hall of Famer Mario Lemieux is 44. Actor Guy Pearce is 42 years old. Josie Bissett is 39. She's an actress, Melrose Place, you might remember her. Phoenix Suns forward Grant Hill is 37 years old, also celebrating a birthday. Used to coach the Dallas Cowboys. Former Hall of Fame coach Barry Switzer is 72 years old. Happy birthday, coach. Singer-musician Steve Miller is 66 years old. Rock singer Brian Johnson from AC/DC is 62. Actress Karen Allen is 58 years old. Writer, producer, director Clive Barker is 57 years old. From the Titanic, actress Kate Winslet is 34 years old. TV personality, boy, I didn't even know she had a personality, Nikki Hilton is 26 years old. R&B singer Brooke Valentine is 24. If you're celebrating a birthday, happy, happy birthday to you from all of us at America Tonight.
Okay, okay, bye-bye. Show's over, folks. Bye-bye. Let's move. Bye-bye. Let's pick this thing up. Let's go for it. Stop. 1, 2, 3, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for flying with us. Bye-bye.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Bye-bye.
I don't get it.
There's nothing to get. Bye-bye.
And we'll see you tomorrow.